Thank you, Sister Amy, Sister Dawn, Brother Will, for leading our song service this morning. I don't see anybody standing over here. Does that mean we don't have any specials this morning? Have we sung our singers out this past week? All right. I understand that. It is good again to see everyone gathered with us here this morning. I want to welcome those that are in the parking lot. Spoke with Sister Helen and Brother Nelson this morning, and glad they're out there. They said they was out there this week during our revival, and we're thankful for them and any others that may be out in the parking lot. We don't want to overlook you. We appreciate you putting forth the effort to be with us today as well. And it's always good to be able to just be at the house of the Lord and to be able to hear songs of praise lifted up and to be able to fellowship and be able to worship together. Any word on anyone's heart before I get to my reading for this morning? Amen. And we appreciate the special effort that Kathy put in. She carried the brunt of coordinating and preparing, and we appreciate her doing that too. But, you know, that's a part of our revival that we also enjoy. We enjoy the worship service, but we enjoy the luncheon and the fellowshipping in between the services. And, again, we appreciate everyone, even Spencer. He was a trooper all week long in our sound booth back there, and, you know, it's a big job to do back there. You know, these singers can be quite a task sometimes, you know. Start it over, Spencer, you know. But we appreciate everyone, certainly do. Anyone else? I do desire your prayers. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to read from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8. Right after the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, chapter 8. And I just want to share a couple of verses there. And I'm going to begin with the very first verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. Who is as the wise man? It's a question. There's a couple of questions here. Who is as the wise man? And who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. Let's drop down to verse 6. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. And I'm going to stop with just those few verses. My text is going to come from Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. I made reference to this verse during our revival, but I want to use it as a text verse this morning. And it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And my thought for a few moments of time is life and death. Life and death. You know, we hear an expression or a phrase sometimes used. People say, it's a matter of life and death. And when they use that expression, what they're really talking about is that it means that it's something that's important. It's something that is urgent. It's a matter or a situation or a circumstance that needs some immediate attention. Something has to be done because it is something that is just that important. And, you know, as we meet together this morning and I look across the congregation, there is a diversity of people that are amongst us today. We come in all shapes and we come in all sizes, and there's a lot of difference in ages amongst us this morning, and backgrounds that are different, and everybody here is different from everybody else in some form or some fashion. But we all have at least one thing in common. And that's something that every one of us is going to experience at some point in time. And that common experience is death. We're all going to face death. And, you know, in life, we make all kinds of preparations for things. And people make all kinds of preparations even for death. Maybe even some of you have done that. I remember when my grandmother passed away. I was the one that was in charge of taking care of things. And they had pre-planned their funeral. There wasn't anything really for me to do other than go to the funeral home and make sure that everything was in order. The only thing they couldn't prepay is the ad for the newspaper. So that's the only thing that I had to deal with. But everything else was prearranged. And so people go to that extent. But sadly, many people stop there. They haven't prepared for what comes after death. And, and I know this morning that's one of the subjects that's not really at the top 10 of our most favorite things to consider and talk about. But since we're all going to face it, it's something that I believe that we need to think about. And the Bible has a lot to say about death. And I know that I can't cover everything that it says about death, but there are many questions, I guess, that we have about death. And we don't have all the revelation of it for those questions here for us. But I believe that the Bible does tell us all that we need to know about death. And the Bible tells us, we've heard this verse many times in our lifetime, the wages of sin is death. We've heard that. And then it goes on to tell us, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, you know, eternal life means unending life. It means that it's not going to end and it's going to be an everlasting life with Jesus, if we are prepared properly and if we're saved. And I've heard people say, well, if we're saved, then why do we even have to die at all? The question that comes to their mind is, aren't we going to live forever anyway? If we're going to live forever anyway, why can't we just be swept up into heaven just like Elijah was? And brothers and sisters, we need to understand that death, it's not a punishment for the Christian. Death isn't a punishment for the Christian. My text said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If we are a Christian, the Word of God just said, you're never going to be condemned by the Lord Jesus Christ. You're forever free from paying the sin debt. And the reason for that is because Jesus has already paid the penalty for your sins. That's why he went to the cross of Calvary. That's why he died and was buried, and he arose again. He has declared us, those of us that have been saved, he's declared us not guilty, and he has given us freedom from the penalty of sin, and he's given us the power to be able to do his will. The wages of sin is death. We're not under that. We've received the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But listen, we still suffer. We still suffer in this world because this world is shaped and it's influenced by sin. And in Romans chapter 8, in verse 20, it tells us, for the creature, and I believe what that's referring to is all of humanity. It's referring to us as the creature. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We still live in a world that is corrupted by sin. Christians, even after we've been saved, we still sin. Christians, Brother Jerry, we still get sick. We're still exposed to the things of this life. We still suffer. Catastrophes that occur that we're seeing around the world. We see it with the collapse of the building in Miami, and we see it with the flooding that's going on over in Europe, and there's all kinds of natural disasters that if we're in the wrong place at the wrong time, we're going to have to suffer those things that happen. And a Christian's death is still part of living in this cursed world, and we're going to have to experience that. But one day, as I read God's Word, it tells me one day death is going to be removed. One day there's not going to be any more death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 26, Paul said, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And one day, death will never happen again. Isn't that a glorious thought? You know, the other side of the coin is one day, the last person to be saved is going to be saved. That's a very sobering thought, isn't it? If we're gathered together here as we are this morning, and I don't know if we have lost amongst us, I assume that we do, there may be more than one amongst us. But do you realize that one day the last sinner is going to be saved and the Lord's coming back? And just like the last sinner will be saved, the Scripture tells us that one day death will never happen again. Jesus will return and death will cease to exist. But until then, death is going to claim all of us until the Lord comes back. But I want us to think for a moment this morning about what happens to a Christian when they die. What happens to those of us that are Christians? Brothers and sisters, we as Christians, we shouldn't fear death. You know, we've got a wonderful promise from God. I realize this morning that we may fear how death will come to us. I understand that. But as a child of God, we don't have to fear death itself. The Hebrew writer in the second chapter, in the 14th verse, said, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." So basically what that says, we don't have to fear the devil. We don't have to fear death. Jesus, he had to come and he had to become flesh so that he could die and so that he could rise again in order to be able to destroy the devil's power over death. Jesus broke that power over death. He was victorious over death. He was victorious over the grave. And when we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ through a salvation experience, he doesn't have a hold on us anymore. For the Christian, death is just a door. Death is just a transition, if you will, from this life to real life, to everlasting life. And if you're struggling with the concept of death this morning, ask God to help you, brothers and sisters, to have an understanding and to have the faith to understand that for a child of God, it's just a transition. It's just going from this place, where is not our home, to our eternal home that he has prepared for us in the heavens. And when Christians die, our souls go immediately into the presence of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Our bodies remain in the grave, and our souls go to be with Jesus." And I'll tell you, we know that there's a period of sadness when someone that we love passes from this life. And of course, it's a little bit easier when we know that they've been saved by the grace of God. But it is our nature, whether it be through selfishness, whether it be through love, whatever it might be. But it's all right when a loved one who dies in the Lord, it's all right for us to mourn. It's all right for us to grieve the death of a Christian relative or of a Christian friend. Brother Stapleton made reference during the revival about Stephen. And we know the story of Stephen as he spoke to those men that were gathered there. He didn't compromise his faith. He didn't compromise the gospel. He told them exactly what the truth of God's word says. And it tells us there in Acts chapter 8 and verse 2 that we know that they stoned him to death. And after that they had stoned Stephen to death, and of course the Scripture said the heavens opened and he saw Jesus at the right hand of the Father. But the Scripture tells us that devout men, they carried Stephen to his burial. And then it goes on to tell us that they made great lamentation over him. In other words, they grieved. They were sorrowful for the passing of him. And you'll remember when Lazarus died, the Scriptures told us that Jesus wept. So we know that when those that are in the Lord, those that have been saved, when they pass, it's okay to grieve the loss. We know that, as we said, Stephen saw the Lord, and Jesus himself, he wept over Lazarus. He knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, but still, the scripture says he wept over him. I guess what I'm trying to say, it's okay to cry. It's okay to lament. It's okay to miss those Christian loved ones that have passed from this life. But even when we mourn for them, you know, we're not hopeless. We've got great encouragement from God's Word. I think about Paul when he was speaking to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And they were concerned about those that had died in the Lord. They were concerned about them. And Paul told them, he said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those which are asleep," or those who have died. He said, "that ye sorrow not, even as others that have no hope." There's a difference between the sorrow that we have for someone that's a child of God who passes from this life and the sorrow that we have for someone who leaves this world unprepared and has died in their sins, is going to spend eternity in hell. He's saying it's different in that way. We know that they're okay. We know that they're with Jesus. And if we've been saved by the grace of God, we know that we're going to see them again. That's the promises of God, that there's going to be a wonderful day of reunion for all of God's children as we enter into the place that God has prepared for us. But what about those that are unsaved? What about those who are non-Christians that have not been saved? What happens when they die? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, he said, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." When people who have rejected Jesus die, their soul immediately goes to eternal punishment. Their bodies remain in the grave, but the soul goes to hell. If unsaved this morning, I want you to hear me. I want you to be able to understand this. You know, God has created us to have free will. And just like any other thing in this life, you know, if somebody comes to you and suggests, "Do you want to do this or do that?" You know, you've got to understand what they're meaning. You know, if you decide to do this or you decide to do that, you have to understand what your options are. If we're going to make a decision about something, we have to know what our options are. And when we know what our options are, we also have to know what the consequences are going to be from the choices or the decisions that we make. And that's exactly this morning what I want you to hear and I want you to understand. If the Lord should call you out of this life, you have to understand where your soul will go. It's important for you to know where you're at in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we've tried to express all week long in the revival, it really boils down to two things. You're either saved or you're not saved. If you're saved, you have the assurance of heaven. If you're not saved, you're going to spend eternity, as I read, in a place that's called hell. You need to understand that. So the question this morning is, where are you at in relationship to the Lord? Now, let's talk about where your soul will go. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 28, he said, "Marvel not at this. Marvel not at this. For the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Physical death is not the end for the unsaved. Physical death is not the end for the saved. There is a judgment that they're going to have to face. And listen, when Jesus returns, the bodies and the souls of all of those will be joined again together for the final judgment. They're judged. The unsaved will be judged. And then both body and soul will rejoin and be cast into the lake of fire, as I read just a few moments ago, into hell. Hear me today. I want you to understand there is no second chances. Contrary to what some religious beliefs are, there are some religions that believe if you die and you go into the grave, that enough people in this life, your loved ones, your friends, and your family, that they can pray you out of hell and pray you into heaven. That's a lie. That's a lie. That can't happen. The only preparation that can be made is while you're alive, because it's a personal experience between you and the Lord. There's no second chance to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 16, very familiar portion of God's Word. The lesson talks about a rich man, and it talks about a beggar there. They both died, but their destinations were very different. And you can read that for yourself. But I want to share with you what the unsaved man said. I want to share with you what the rich man said. He died, and the Scripture says that in hell, he lifted up his eyes, but it doesn't stop right there. There's another part before. It says he lifted up his eyes in torments. Torments is not a good thing. Torments is unrest. Torments is agony. Torments are things that are not good for you. And in verse 24 it says, and he cried, and he said, Father Abraham, he said, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Why? He said, I am tormented in this flame. He said, and besides all this, between us and you, he said, there's a great gulf fixed so they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. You understand that? You can't pass back and forth. There's no second chance. Either you prepare to meet the Lord before you pass from this life, or your eternal destination is fixed. As this rich man said, I can't go to you. You can't come to me. The circumstance couldn't change. The sinner who chooses to reject the Lord will be cut off from God and will be cut off from paradise that God has prepared. The Scriptures are clear. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. All people will die physically. But Jesus died so that we wouldn't have to die spiritually. All of those who don't put their faith and trust in Jesus, all of those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, they are going to die spiritually. But those of us who are saved, we're spiritually alive. We've been quickened. We're serving a living Savior who is going to that saved us, quickened us, or made us alive forevermore. The only time to seek and trust in the Lord Jesus is now, before you leave this world and before you leave this life. I'm telling you the truth this morning. I'm telling you the truth. There is no hope for eternity for those who die without trusting in the Lord as their Savior. Paul, when he was writing to his fellow Jews who were rejecting and were dying, Romans chapter 9 and verse 2, he said, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. He was talking about those who were dying in their sins without the Lord. And Paul said, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Brothers and sisters, you know what I'm saying, right? I'm talking about what we should be feeling within our hearts. I know all last week in revival, how we agonized in our prayer room, and we agonized at home, and we agonized in our church services, because, yes, we had a heaviness and we had a continual sorrow. Listen, revival, quote, revival week is over. But listen, we still need to have heaviness of heart. And we need to have a continual sorrow in our heart for those that are unsaved. We're not waiting till next year when revival comes around. I'm looking for the Lord to save before then. I'm looking for somebody to be saved today if God is dealing with their heart. I'm looking for somebody to be saved every time we come through the doors of this place. They might come to realize their condition and be saved. And, you know, we need to continually ask ourselves, brothers and sisters, how concerned we are about those that are unsaved. And, you know, how much are we willing to sacrifice for those that are unsaved? willing to sacrifice of our time or our finances, our energy, our comfort, our safety, whatever it might be, to see them come to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. I've said all along that people have until they draw their last breath to get right with God. But I've said this many times throughout my ministry. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to put off salvation thinking, well, I'll get saved later. I'll get saved at another time. Because we just don't know what's going to happen. As I mentioned a few moments ago, those in Miami, when that building, half the building fell to the ground and 160 people or so perished. And as we heard this week, it happened about 1:30 in the morning. They were asleep in their beds. They kissed their spouse goodnight or they tucked their children in and they went to sleep and they went to bed, and all of a sudden the building collapses. No time to get out. No time to escape. No thought that they wouldn't see the sunrise the next day. And as sad and tragic as that situation is, it's even more tragic if they weren't prepared to meet their God. That's why it's so important that not wait till the last moment. Don't think that I'll just wait till another day or a more convenient season, or don't try to tell God where and when you want to be saved. You just need to respond when He draws you unto Him. The best thing to do is make sure you're right with the Lord today, so you don't have to worry about anything that tomorrow might bring. There's a peace of heart in knowing that you're a child of God. Like I said, I'm saved and I know that I am. I'm so glad that I know that I'm saved. I'm not looking to leave this world tomorrow. I don't know, but I'm prepared and ready. And if I should, you don't have to worry about me. I'll be waiting for you, for your entrance into that city. And we'll be able to be reunited and be together again. Brothers and sisters, do you ever think about Resurrection Day? What a day that'll be when the graves burst open for those that have passed on. As Christians, when you die, I believe your soul immediately goes into God's presence. But we know that our body goes into the grave. And our bodies are going to stay in those graves and wait for the return of the Lord. And then the Bible tells us that those who have died, that those graves, they're going to burst open. And our bodies will be reunited with the Spirit of God. We'll have a new body and we'll be with the Lord. You know, when Jesus returns, we'll finally be complete. We'll be complete, redeemed, and sanctified. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ that is coming." Brothers and sisters, we that have a profession of faith, we have the greatest hope in the world, brothers and sisters, the hope of resurrection from the dead. You know, the great guarantee of our resurrection is because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He resurrected, we have the assurance that we will. He is risen, and we will arise. The day that Jesus returns will be a wonderful day of reuniting body and soul together, and our transformation will be complete. When Jesus returns, there will be some Christians still living. The way things are going, there are many people that think He's going to come back in our lifetime, in this generation. I don't know. I don't have that crystal ball. In fact, the Scripture is very plain that only the Father knows when that's going to be. But the thing about it is when that day comes, if any of us are still alive, those that rise out of the grave are going to get a new body, and the soul is going to join and forever be with the Lord. But if you're still alive when the Lord comes, good news, you're getting a new body too. The Word of God says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." In other words, we won't all be dead, but we shall all be changed. in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed instantly. You'll be changed into your permanent and perfect body. And all, we also shall join in the air and meet the Lord. Every Christian will get a renewed resurrection body. 1 Corinthians 15 and 49 says, and as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Philippians 3 and 21 says, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned unto like his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is even able to subdue all things unto himself. Think about that, brothers and sisters. What a day that's going to be when the Lord comes and we no longer. Right now, I'm saved by the grace of God, but you know what? I'm limited because of the fleshly nature of this body. But when the Lord comes and I get that new body, I'm not going to be inhibited anymore by the sinful influences of the body. What a glorious day that's going to be. Theologically, that's known as glorification. That's what's going to happen. Our new bodies will live forever. Think about that. Never to wear out again. And never more to get old. Isn't it wonderful? Never more to get sick. Never more to show signs of aging. We'll be happy. We'll be strong. And we'll be perfect in the Lord. What a wonderful thing that is. My reading this morning, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 1. It asks, who is as the wise man? And who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. Listen, wisdom. Wisdom is being able to see life from God's perspective, and then to know the best course of action to take when we see life from the perspective of the Lord. I pray this morning that in my message, I have been able to show you life and death from God's perspective. I want to close with the question, what will happen when you die? I shared in my message what will happen when a child of God dies, a Christian. And I shared in my message what will happen to those who are unbelievers or those who have rejected the gospel message. I want you to consider this morning what will happen when you die. I will tell you this morning that you can be sure of one of these two things will happen to you. If you die as a Christian, you will immediately be in the presence of the Lord. And when Jesus returns, your old body and soul will be reunited with a new body, and you will live with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever in all of eternity, enjoying all the things that He has prepared for us and all the things that we're going to be doing there. I believe we're going to be doing lots of different things there. And you'll be able to enjoy that. If you die without having trusted in Jesus as your Savior, you will immediately go into eternal punishment. When Christ returns, you'll be united with your old body, and you'll be judged and spend eternity separated and apart from God. I say that to say this. Today is a day of opportunity. Today is a day of opportunity. Today, if you're here this morning unsaved, today you can become a child of God. You can be saved this very day and become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can have all of the promises that He has made to those who are His children. You can have that too. I want to have a song, Brother Will or Brother Allen, whichever one wants to come. The opportunity is before you. And if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you experience salvation, the wonderful thing is that right now, you will have the assurance of eternal life. And you can be with the Lord in heaven for all of eternity. Death is sure. and so is resurrection. But we just have to make sure that our calling and our election is sure. In other words, we have to make sure that we know where we're at with the Lord. This morning, I know where I'm at. I'm saved, and I know what's coming. I know death is coming, unless I'm here when the Lord comes back. But either way, I know ultimately what's going to happen to me. I'm getting a new body, and my body and soul are going to be reunited. And I'm going to the place that Jesus has prepared for me. He promised me that He went to prepare a place for me. He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, He said, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you can be also. I'm going where Jesus is. How about you? Let's stand together this morning. If you don't have that assurance and you need Jesus, come to an altar. Seek Him. Today, you can leave here changed, a new creature in Christ. You can leave here today with a joy in your heart that'll last the rest of your lifetime and on into eternity. Will you come? While we sing this morning, do you need to trust in Jesus this morning? Will you step out and make your way to an altar and call upon Him today? Trust in Him unto the saving of your soul? Is there one today? The invitation is before you. Is the Lord drawing you today? Is He dealing with